Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the Poisoner's Cabinet. I'm Sinead.
And I'm Nick.
And this is your weekly podcast exploring the lives of the great poisoners, macabre murders and captivating crimes from across the centuries, and creating curious cocktails inspired by the tales that we tell. And it's episode 188!
It is! And hopefully we won't have to do this 12 times.
No, not like last week.
Not like last week.
Where we started and we just went, no, this is shit, several times.
All dreadful.
And no one knows, unless we tell them.
And we've just had done that.
I do save those golden bits for Patreon sometimes.
Aren't they lucky?
Yeah, there are some quite good outtakes actually from last week, just of you going a bit mental.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's nice, yes.
Something to look forward to, I have no idea. Yeah.
How are you, Nick?
I'm all right.
You're wrapped up in your big blanket.
Well, it was a bit chilly. And it was that, or I put a big jumper on. And I thought, I like my blanket.
You've got your nice blanket, like a shawl.
I like my shawl. I like my shawl.
You've put the heating on for us as well.
Ooh. Only because you were bitching about it.
It's because I've got a bit of a cold.
I'm cold.
I'm wearing like three jumpers and my feet are cold.
So I've put the heating on.
It was very nice. Thank you, Mr. Scrooge.
Absolutely.
A piece of coal for my trouble.
That's a bottle of wine I can't afford now.
How much does your heating cost?
Very expensive. And that I drink very cheap wine.
And also that your heating is measured in wine. That's how you pay your bills.
That's how I measure electricity. That's how I measure everything. That could have bought me 2.5 bottles of wine.
You're going to EDF each week. Here you are. Here's your crate. They're like, we're not going to shut up. Let him pay us in wine. Ah, oh, marvellous.
That's how these things work.
Any poisonings this week?
Oh, I don't think so.
No?
No.
No, too cold.
Absolutely. Mm. The clouds.
What?
Do the clouds make it cold? No. Lack of clouds. Not enough clouds.
That would give us some extra layer of warmth.
Yes. It traps the heat inside.
Welcome to weather with the Poisoner's Cabinet. Every now and then.
Meteorology with Nick.
Yes.
it's my new YouTube channel.
You know a lot about a lot, but every now and then.
No, I know a very little about a lot.
A little about a lot. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. You've got hidden depths of knowledge, but weather clearly isn't one of them.
Apparently clouds is not one of them. Cumulonimbus.
Don't bring Latin into this.
See, I really know what I'm talking about now.
Clouds, the greatest poison of them all. Well, good.
Yeah,
good.
Try that.
Also, we don't cope well in the cold, as I'm sure we've said before, in England, when there's just a layer of fine frost, the country goes mad.
Oh, indeed, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone's like, how will we cope in this cold snap? We're in the warmest part of the country as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Positively balmy. Yeah. So I have a bit of a, well, I've got a sniffle because the temperature dropped and my nose went insane, as is its wont.
Not because we get at all exaggeratey when it's a bit cold over here.
Consult my nose. Tell it that. I would happily be proven wrong. I would like it not to do what it does every time there is a slight change in air pressure, which is just evacuate my head. That. So if I'm coughing
Sounds
or sniffing,
lovely.
I'm really sorry. But I've taken half an Actifed earlier. I've just taken half an Actifed with a bit of Negroni.
Oh,
so this
Christ.
This episode could get very interesting.
I just want a quiet time. I just want to do the episode and then have a lovely time.
Yes, but this is not the life you chose.
This is true.
You chose poorly.
Yes, I chose unwisely.
You took the red pill. Mm. But speaking of taking pills and seeing what happens, and wrapping yourself in a shawl against the cold, I think it is time for us to thank our delicious Patreon subscribers.
Oh, we certainly should. And first, thanks must go to Gnome.
Two gnomes.
Two gnomes. She has two gnomes. Perhaps two gnomes inside a big coat.
Oh my god.
I have discovered your secret.
They steal away across the night to Clara Goskova.
And to Kiara Wojda.
To Janny Rounds.
And to Dizzy Lizzy.
Dizzy Lizzy.
Dizzy Lizzy. Thank you very much, you old darlings.
You very, very sexy Patreon subscribers. We had fun on Patreon this week. We had a mystery on our hands, a mystery of the high seas and the high waves, at which at one point that I said that made no sense.
Yes, I had to pick you up on that one.
Thank you. And I appreciate it.
I'm glad. I'm glad. We're all here to learn.
Yes, we spoke of the Mary Celeste, requested a few times, and we thought it was appropriate for Patreon. Main episode, I don't think I could have stretched that out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, crimes is, yeah, going the, oh yeah, someone got convicted of fraud.
I mean, the technically,
a scrape in the barrel of the crimes, I feel.
It's a good story to tell, and on Patreon we can have a bit more fun with it, but really, that's the thing with mysteries, and we're always happy to take more suggestions of mysteries that do involve a crime, but, you know, that are kind of big mysteries that you guys are interested in. But the thing with mysteries is that, oh, maybe something happened. No, it didn't.
Maybe it didn't.
Yeah, it's sort but of, here are the facts. And what do we know? We don't know anything.
No.
There's no big revelation
Let's
at the
make
end
make some
of
shit up.
Yes, we either have to try and solve it ourselves and that never goes
Which
well.
We often do.
Yes, yes. Off air. So we can bribe the people involved. You know, the people who've been bereaved.
This is just Sinead's second marketing strategy.
It's a good one.
Yes.
Well, Nick, are you ready?
Yes, okay. Yeah. I'm not sure I like where this is going. if we're now delving into bribery as a new marketing stream.
And blackmail.
And blackmail. Okay.
That was the third strand. I was going to tell you about that later, but I thought I should bring you in on it now. Oh, that pill is really kicking in.
It really is. God help us all.
To drink cocktails and talk about poison?
Oh, I don't know, probably.
Or we could drink poison and talk about cocktails.
Yeah, I guess do that as well.
Both?
Yes, both.
Maybe.
I would say both.
Let's start with the first one.
See how things go.
Yeah, hooray, hooray, hooray. It is Nick's story this week, and we can't possibly have a story without a cocktail in hand. As you know, dear listeners, every week we choose a secret ingredient that is inspired by the tale that we tell, and it will flavour our cocktail of the week. And this week's secret ingredient is...
It's an elephant.
It's an elephant.
An elephant.
I was really excited by elephant being the secret ingredient.
It's a good secret ingredient.
It is. I love just to say elephant.
Elephant.
Elephant. And I was completely thrown. I have no idea what your story is. I never do. But yeah, what the
few
hell?
Few people have guessed.
What I did do, though, was thinking, elephant, what stories are there? And then, you know, your brain goes off on a tangent. And I went, oh, yeah, let me look up the plot of Dumbo. And then I felt sad for 2 hours.
Yes.
I can't watch Dumbo. Not because of the old-fashioned racism.
Good old-fashioned racism.
When you watch it again, you go, oh, none of that was okay.
It is questionable.
No, I just can't watch it because Dumbo is separated from his mother and Dumbo is really sad. And he's vulnerable. I can't watch it. It's a sad elephant.
This is great to know.
I just wanted to share that with you. Well, I felt very vulnerable and I felt very, very sad.
Well, you'll be relieved to know I'm not telling the story of Dumbo.
Please don't.
For this week's episode.
I won't be able to cope. It was just an out-of-body experience of just sitting there going, I'm profoundly affected by this film, even just looking at the synopsis.
Out of body or out of mind?
Both. You know, you hover over yourself and you look at yourself going, you have problems.
Yeah.
But it's not that, hopefully.
But it's not that. We're not talking about an animated cartoon elephant.
Okay, but with an elephant, there's many things you could derive from an elephant.
Well, I'm glad you said so, because I had a real bugger of a time getting something off after I said elephant. And it's like, oh, shit, there's not much.
Well, I think, should I say them now?
By all means.
Well, you've got a trunk, so something to carry in, ivory. That hunted for
you know
them
what?
Badly.
I did not think of ivory.
How did you not think of ivory?
Right, I'm now Googling ivory-based cocktails.
An elephant never forgets.
Yeah.
So, it's big old ears. No,
big old
Dumbo,
ears.
No.
I can't believe I didn't think of ivory. That's really stupid.
Well, it's probably a good thing, isn't it? That shows you're not a hunter.
Yes.
If you'd said ivory, I'd have been suspicious. Mr. Blackheart? Yes, my pretty.
Okay. There's no obvious ivory cocktails.
No obvious ivory. They're very rare.
Basically, I put it into a search on Difford's and see what happens.
Yeah, that's what I do with everything. Difford's first, legitimate, and then afterwards Google the no man's land. But with elephant,
yes.
With all of the inspiration I just gave you,
yeah.
What have you come up with?
Well. I've got two things for you.
Oh, okay.
Today, there's one thing.
Is that one of the two things?
Which is, right. And then there's another thing as well. So moving on to another thing, there's two things. The one thing and then the other thing.
Oh, great. Excellent.
One comes first and then the other one comes after.
Yeah. What about clouds?
There's more than two of those, I think you'll find.
I'm learning so much. What is the one? What's the first one?
So the first thing, there's a liqueur that I really wanted to use, but I can actually find very little cocktails based on it. So I bought a bottle. We shall see if we like it. Have you heard of Amarula?
Yes, I have heard of Amarula. We received some miniature bottles of it.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Who's there?
Our lovely friends from South Africa sent us some.
I completely forgot it. It's here. And I've just bought the whole fucking bottle.
Instantly could tell you that. Just like...
Well, you're marvellous, but why didn't I remember? So I thought we're going to have some of that. Because it's got an elephant on the front.
Is that enough?
Yeah, we're just going to try it.
Oh, we're trying.
I just want to try it. I've never had it before.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're in for a treat.
But also, it's made of the marula fruit,
yes,
which is what elephants drink and makes them go mad.
It makes them go drunk.
Yeah. And so mad. I thought that's really cool. An elephant based. I think it's sort of, you can use it like a Bailey's thing.
It's creamy.
So it's a creamy thing. But all you really get cocktail wise is like, oh, put some milk and some coffee or some chocolate in it.
Well, sometimes that's nice. We don't get those a lot, and they're always appreciated.
I don't want to do that.
No. But we'll. So we're going to try that.
And then we're going to have a natural cocktail.
Good. Okay. Is that got other ingredients that you've ordered that you have right there in
front
of you?
Most likely.
So the actual cocktail.
The actual cocktail we're going to have is an Archibald's Last Memory.
Archibald's Last Memory?
Yes.
Is this based on the fact that an elephant never forgets?
Yes.
That's it?
Yes.
Is Archibald an elephant?
Yes.
Oh, is it?
Well, in my mind, it is.
Oh, for God's sake.
That's why we have this as well.
So we have a bottle with an elephant on it that elephants get drunk on. That's legitimate.
Yeah.
Then we have something vaguely connected with something that you can never prove about an elephant.
Yeah.
Right.
This is their last memory.
That's depressing.
This is the last. So, I mean, it could be a delightfully happy memory.
Hopefully.
Of eating lovely marula fruits.
They're dying.
Having getting absolutely plastered and then wandering off a cliff.
Wow. All right. It could have just lain down in the lovely sun and died of old age, but you had to have it careering off a fucking cliff.
As the bullet goes through his skull.
And it's a baby as well. Jesus Christ. You're really thinking Ivory would have been better here, would you? Right. Well, we've created a hell of a backstory for this elephant.
Archibald the elephant.
He's
having a lovely old time.
His last memory before he
is of happy, jolly things.
Archibald's last happy memory and some elephanty juice.
Yes.
Okay, I think it is high time we march into the poisonous cabinet kitchen and shake up a storm. So we'll see you in a minute.
We'll see you in a bit.
And we're back.
Hello.
So, Nick, two drinks. One of which we've never heard of and never been sent samples of. Lovely.
It's a mystery.
You put it in the very pretty little bulbous glasses. Aye. Yes. And then we have a brown drink.
Brown cube
of ice.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, maybe we know what happened to Archibald. Okay, well, what do we start with?
Creamy first? I'm intrigued by the Amarula.
All right, you go for it. Oh, you're just going straight in. Okay, right. Okay. Merry Christmas.
Well, it is nice.
It's nice, fruity. Isn't it? It's a fruity, creamy.
Surprisingly fruity.
Which shouldn't work, but it's quite delicious. And it's not as thick as Bailey's, I feel, personally. It's got a creaminess, but a really, really nice fruitiness to it.
Well, what I can tell you is that it's going to go horribly with the next drink.
Oh, no. Well, I'm not going to down it. I've had a couple of sips.
That's actually delightfully pleasant. I must find something to use that. Because that's actually really good.
It's a good one to have over ice.
There are loads of recipes. I did some Googling. There's loads of recipes like, have it with ice cream and lots of desserts and things like that, which are great.
Well, I mean, let's face it. How many actual cocktails have Baileys in them? You know, there is a handful, but it's a handful out of many, 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 many other better ones.
Yes, out of many.
Yes, but actually when our dear friend Cass comes round, she loves a Baileys.
She loves a Baileys.
You can whip out some of that.
I may well do.
She might throw it in your face.
Maybe. We'll find out.
But now to the main event.
Yes, and I'm concerned.
Don't say that.
No, mainly that this is going to send you actually insane.
Because I've had half an act of Ed.
Because you've had a whole act of Ed and a Negroni.
No, over a day. I wouldn't take a whole one before recording. That's mental. And a bit of an... I've still got some Negroni left.
Yeah.
And now this. It's not my episode, mate.
Yeah,
so
well, this for its spirit forward... isn't quite going to cover it. So we shall find out.
What the shit? I'm so sorry. Guys, we are going to be filming these episodes again in future. We're waiting for better camera equipment to come through. And this is just the day where I'm regretting this, because if you could have seen my face fallen there, picture it, draw a sketch of it. Okay.
But it could be, I'm thinking it's going to be very, very nice, but I think it's going to be quite powerful.
Okay, good. Well, I think there's nothing for it but to dive in. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, yeah, I see what you mean. One of my nostrils is blocked and still that burns. What is that? What's happening?
Oh, now I like that an awful lot. That is a very me drink.
Oh, there's something there. It's a very you drink. It's a very you drink.
It's
a
very brown drink.
It's a very brown drink. It is spirit forward. It's not as deathly as I thought.
Is that okay? Did I oversell it?
Well, I guess, yes, you did. And now that's probably lulled me into a false sense of security. Fine. And I'll be knocking this back. And then in 10 minutes, I'll be going, I'm Henry VIII, I am, with your blanket on and nothing else. Which would be horrifying.
That would be a terrifying, terrifying thing.
It just, yeah. I think it's going to make me sneeze, actually. Something has happened to one of my sinuses that was blocked all day. So now it's
not anymore. Clear.
The middle of it, the middle bit of the taste, yeah, is quite strong, and there's something in there I'm not sure about. There's something suspicious in there.
Well, there is a new thing in there.
I know there's a new thing. I can't remember what it is, but you know when you make purchases on the business account, it comes up on my phone when you write down what it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you won't get it from that.
Oh, good. Okay, right. Because there were some words in there and I thought, don't look at it, Sinead. Right. Whiskey? Bourbon?
No.
Rye?
Yes.
Hey! Yeah, that was one of the things you wrote down.
Do you remember what the other one was?
No.
No.
It begins with F.
It does. Okay, you remember that.
Yeah. Oh, there's something herbally in here. Is there something herbally?
Yes.
Not Benedictine?
Yes.
Oh, it is Benedictine. Look at you. I always get the Benedictine, and I swear to God, I had no idea.
Two out of four.
Is there citrus? There's no citrus in there.
No.
Nothing fruity?
Ish
fruity. A potato. What? Tomato.
Yes,
what?
Desperately fruity.
Yeah, there we go. This is how it's going to start. Tomatoes are fruit. Shut up.
Potatoes aren't.
In Ireland, they are.
Really?
It's all of our five a day.
You can still have vegetables a five a day.
No, you can't.
No, just fruit.
It's that and cabbage. Right.
It's going to be a long evening, everyone.
I know.
You won't get it. Unless you remember it from the ingredient.
Well, what's the other thing?
The other thing is a fruity thing.
Triple sec?
No. Close.
Orange, lemon,
no,
ginger.
We have it a lot with rye.
Maraschino?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's a fruit.
That's what I said, yes.
Don't say fruity-ish. It's a fruit. It's a bloody fruit. I didn't say maraschino because I thought it was too fruity. What's the other thing?
The last thing is fernet. Now, again, I'm probably fernet. I'm probably pronouncing it very wrongly. I'm sure many people will comment on my pronunciation. It's an Italian beverage.
Fernet.
Yes. Well, actually, I think fernet is the brand. This is their classic, and there are different varieties. But it is another sort of herbally bitter liqueur.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Sorry, I took another sip there, and I just thought nonchalantly, it really hits you.
One of the sort of prominent things in this is rhubarb.
What? Rhubarb?
Yes, they use rhubarb in the... along with a variety of other herbal and ingredients, plant-based things, but rhubarb.
Rhubarb, it's a veritable fruit salad.
Indeed, is one of the things in there.
Oh,
so, and
that's
not—it's not something I've never had a bottle before. I've often seen it in recipes. Okay, yeah. I really need to get a bottle of that. Uh-huh. And then I was looking through like cocktails with fernet, and it's like, oh, I want to make that. 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 I want to make that.
Have we had rhubarb as an ingredient?
I don't believe we have.
Oh, well, when it comes up, that'll be
there.
Boom.
So absolutely. So there's lots of exciting cocktails we make with that. So so just four ingredients, just stirred with ice. The original recipe of this calls for it neat, no ice.
That sounds like an incident.
That, to me, sounded deadly.
Yeah, that is a riot. So
I thought, no, I'm going to serve it on a big cube of ice because I think it needs that dilution.
It does.
Otherwise, we will both not be doing this episode.
I have high hopes for you because I think this is absolutely your drink. You can manage it. I'm going to sip this very slowly.
You said that very slowly. There's a whole bottle of Amarula in there now.
I'm not going to have that too. That's just going to curdle in my stomach and then I'll just
I'll have that and you can have the marula. Whichever is your preference.
Okay. I mean, if you want to have two of those, go ahead. It is strong, people. It's an acquired taste.
But you have to like your hefty drinks.
Yeah, if you have been a fan of all those hefty drinks, this is one to mix up.
Think sort of Red Hook.
It's in that ballpark.
Yeah.
But someone has come out with a baseball bat and beaten you around the head.
Which is what we all want with our cocktails.
Which we do. Okay, well, good. Archibald's last memory was clearly of his decision to make this drink and then he died.
It was a terrible, terrible thing.
Well, with Archibald's last memory
yeah.
in our hands, worryingly, and also some Amarulu to grease the wheels as we go. Is it time for a story?
It is most certainly time for a story.
Hooray, I'm excited.
So, yeah, I hope everyone appreciates and thinks that I've done this justice. So this week we're talking gangs.
Ooh, okay.
Talking gangs. Now we don't really do a lot of gang stuff.
We don't.
Really. Generally it's all a bit bleak. Is a gang.
It is.
It's a bit bleak, especially when you're looking at like modern gangs and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, in the news right now.
Yes, precisely. Ecuador, so none of that. So we're gonna take a look back. We're gonna go back a bit, back to our favourite. Possibly our favouritest period.
Yay.
End of the 19th century.
Yay!
Good old Victorian era.
So we're not doing Hannibal crossing the Alps with his magical elephants.
We're not doing that.
No.
Were they particularly magical?
Elephants on skis.
Elephants on skis.
Yep.
quite magical.
Quite magical.
So, no, none of that. Now, the end of the 19th century, going into the early years of the 20th century, it's a rough time for many in sort of inner city urban areas.
Yes.
So not a lot of fun going on.
No.
Industrial Revolution, slums, as we've covered in many episodes, Industrial Revolution, booming urban populations, and the vast majority of those new arrivals are in awful conditions.
Yeah.
Having a hell of a time of it. Poverty, violence, it's all commonplace and it's pretty damn grim.
Really. All crammed into horrible places with unsanitary conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. 400 people to a room. It's
standard.
It's not good. It's not good. So it's no really surprise that sort of crime flourishes in these really deprived areas.
Okay.
In the US, a lot of gangs take control. In like New York, you have gangs like, you have the likes of the 40 Thieves, you have the Bowery Boys,
Dead Rabbits,
Daybreak Boys. You have like Mother Mendelbaum, who we've mentioned before, setting up schools for pickpockets and all that sort of stuff. So gang culture is rife.
Oh, yeah.
And then years later, you have things like Al Capone and Machine Gun Kelly and the real mobsters taking advantage of Prohibition and all that sort of stuff. Maybe lesser well-known potentially are sort of the gangs of London and in the UK. So in the past few years, you've got things like Peaky Blinders, which have really shone a light on Birmingham and some of the Victorian gangs there. Neither have I, to be honest.
Is it worth it, people?
Apparently people say it's very good, but I've not watched it.
People say it's very good, but it's now spawned a lot of men walking around in flat caps thinking they're in Peaky Blinders.
This is very true.
Can we get past it?
Yes. But obviously it was based on a real gang.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day. And then you have a lot of London gangs as well. It is London especially is rife with sort of street gangs that control a relatively small area.
Mm.
But they fight fiercely to maintain their control. I'd say their sort of marketing and brand departments aren't really up to the scratch of their American cousins, really. It has to be said when it comes to sort of naming, they're fairly unadventurous.
The gangy gang.
The Marylebone gang, the Fitzroy Place gang, the Black gang, the Newcut gang, the Greengate gang.
Okay, after all the locations.
After exactly where they are. The Whitechapel gang. The Jovial 32. I like that.
Jovial 32.
The Jovial 32.
Oh, we love that. They turn up. Hello, everyone. We just have a nice time.
It's all very jolly. The Gang of Ruffs.
That's a bit
the Gang of Ruffs. Yeah. Prince Arthur Gang. List goes on and on and on. Not very inspiring. Prince Arthur Gang. I think it's named after a pub.
Oh, right. Okay.
A pub called the Prince Arthur. And that's where the gang would congregate.
A lot of people just looking around at street signs and whatever was
pretty
to hand.
Much.
Does anyone know where we are? No, we don't.
We're in Marylebone. We're the Marylebone gang.
We can't leave.
Yeah. And you've got like, oh, the Dead Rabbits. That's much more fun. Yeah. So that's a lot cooler than we are.
They're all looking through books and going, we've got, oh, fuck it. New York has got it again.
It's got it again. So much better than us. But amongst all of these gangs, one gang is a little different. So this is the one game we're going to be talking about today.
Okay.
So, of course, we are going to be talking about the 40 Elephants.
The 40 Elephants.
The 40 Elephants.
I know nothing of this.
Have you not heard of the 40 Elephants?
No.
Oh,
really,
you're in for a treat.
I am blind coming into this.
Yeah, a very, very well-known now London gang.
Where
unique.
Were they based in the Elephant and Castle?
Yes, they were.
Oh, okay, very nice.
But they were unique in London that they are an all-women gang. entirely female.
Oh my God.
No men allowed.
No men allowed. Good.
No men allowed. Fantastic. Absolutely. And they specialised in shoplifting.
Nice.
And throwing fabulous parties.
It's everything I've ever dreamed of.
Those are what they're known for.
Okay,
that's
good.
What they're good at. Now their members are all incredibly highly skilled at what they do. It's known as hoisting, and they steal thousands of pounds worth of merchandise, sometimes thousands of pounds at a time, from really fancy shops all around the West End and fancy areas. Well, I will tell you how.
Could you?
Just as well I've run an episode on telling you how.
I was worried that you were going to leave that, like going, well, they just did it. Take it.
They just did it. They
now
just did it.
Now the history of
and
London.
Now they're very, very, very good.
Okay.
Now, the gang's founding is somewhat uncertain. We don't exactly know how it came about or when it came about. The first mention of them in police records is in 1873. There are some people who claim they go back earlier than that, to like the beginning of the 19th century, but that's a bit of rumour and gossip and legend that's built up around them.
They've been around
them.
For 400 years.
400 years. They ladies. Were around with the Romans. They were.
Romans love their lady gangs.
And their elephants. Yeah. So, I mean, the name is not as mysterious as you might think. As you have alluded to, yet they were based around Elephant and Castle.
Great. Okay, good.
Which
I forgot I'd said that, and I was like, but they never forgot? What? Sorry.
Elephant and Castle is an area of South London.
Yep.
So named because of an inn called the Elephant and Castle that has stood there. I think the first records go back to about 1750.
Yes.
Also, that this inn has been there in various guises. So, yeah, Elephant and Castle.
It's got a big roundabout.
It's now got a big roundabout, which is very unexciting.
And it's quite a large roundabout, to be fair.
It is. I've seen bigger. going back into the name, they were named the 40 Elephants, as that generally that is the membership limit. Was like,
oh, okay,
40 people, 40 women in the gang, Elephant and Castle, 40 Elephants.
40 Elephants.
Not as mysterious and as obscure as one might think.
I like it. Commanding, powerful.
There are some stories that they also got the name Elephant from the fact that when the women were done clearing out a store, when they would generally hide things in their pockets, and they would come out of the shops with their skirts so bulging full of swag that they would look like elephant's ears in their skirts. So they became known as elephants. Now, I'm not sure how true that is.
It doesn't seem like they'd be very successful as thieves, but if they were.
It's quite entertaining.
Yes, people were standing by going, ah, yes, let's call them elephants, rather than stop.
But I like the idea that they've just got that much stuff under their skirts.
Oh dear, I seem to have eaten too many cream puffs this week. It's gone straight to my thighs.
So the gang, it flourishes when there are not a lot of options for women, especially poor women. There is not much going on. If you're married, then your husband might support you. If you're not married, then it's workhouse. Prostitute. Life of crime. Yep. Though those are really your three choices in life, which is not a great, really. So unsurprisingly, many, many women choose a life of crime. Mm. And if they are lucky enough to be inducted into the 40 Elephants, they have a whole support network behind them, this sort of sisterhood.
Yeah, you want to be in a gang.
You want to be in a gang, absolutely. They have resources behind them. Yeah, you've got people backing you up, I think. So it's incredibly popular and well known. The leader of the gang is known as the Queen. The Queen of the 40 Elephants. Now, the first known queen is a woman called Mary Carr, who was known as Polly. So it is Mary who really expands the gang from their sort of like South London roots and gets them into the more fashionable and affluent areas of London, in really into the sort of the West End of London. Uh-huh. Now, the gang members, they use a variety of ruses to carry out their thefts. But one of the main things about them is they are always impeccably dressed. In the most fashionable clothes.
Absolutely.
So that absolutely, they look like they belong in these places. Because if you go in there in rags, you're just going to get chased. You're not going to get down, you're not going to get on the street, let alone into the shops, probably.
Absolutely.
So yeah, these women look exactly like they belong.
Oh, I like it.
Like they belong.
You've got to look the part.
Yeah,
spend
money to make money. Absolutely. So yes, there is no question of them not being accepted into these most fashionable stores. In one example, in 1897. Two women enter a furrier. A furrier is a merchant who specialises in furs and skins and such like. One of them is dressed as a domestic servant. The other one as her employer. Ooh. A grand, noble lady, bejeweled, fancy frocks, diamonds dripping from every orifice.
You're doing a lot of hand gestures around her head. A lot of
gestures.
I'm imagining her as like Carmen Miranda.
Massive,
but with jewels.
Massive hair.
She's dressed as a 17th century, kind of 18th century woman with a ship in her hair going, wrong era, you stupid bitch.
She looks the part, and she's got a little maid servant trotting along behind her.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
So, yes, the shopkeeper is like, ha ha ha, quid's in here. Some stupid rich woman here. Come on, I'm going to make a fortune.
She's so stupid, she doesn't know where to put her jewels.
So they go into the shop, and they ask to look at some sealskin capes.
Oh, horrible.
Horrible, but fashionable. Desperately fashionable.
Time. Right.
Very expensive. Highest quality. Nicely waterproof.
Yeah, they are.
So they asked to look at these guys. And they're examined. Oh, this colour, or should I have this colour, or this size, or
this
size?
How did this one die? Brutally. Yes.
Look, you can see the club marks here. It's really good.
There we are, This one, it died from sadness. Its mother being clubbed to death. Right, okay. So, wonderful, that.
It's wonderful, absolutely. Can I have it in pink?
No!
So they're there examining these various capes and such like, and they decide on two that they like. Absolutely. All these exquisite they are. And they place an order.
Nice.
For these capes. Absolutely. Can you send it to my fancy house? As she puts on those on the order, fancy house.
Of course, madam. Sorry.
Absolutely. Double quick. Off they go.
Yeah.
Now, the shopkeeper is delighted.
Oh.
I got an order from these fancy folks. These very expensive capes and things. And this goes well. I mean, God knows what more they're going to buy in the future. Yeah. Absolutely. It's only a little while later that he realises that, well, his samples have gone. The ones he had in the shop for people to look at, they've gone.
Oh.
I'm sure it was a mistake. I'm sure such lovely, lovely, fine, elegant ladies have just accidentally wandered off.
Indeed.
While wearing these and trying them out. He tries to find the address of the fancy house.
Oh, no.
There's no such fancy house.
No! It was literally written, one fancy
one,
house,
one
fancy,
fancy
street.
House lane. It's like, there is no such place.
I could have cocked that earlier. Sorry.
Wow.
I'm sure they used a better address.
I'm sure they may have used a different address.
Fancy.
He has lost his fancy clips.
Oh my God, so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
Yeah, in another case, a shopkeeper has been victim of a similar scam, really. And he has notified the police of what has gone on. These two women have come into his store. They look the part. Mm. This is the name they've given me. But then afterwards, half my stock is missing.
How big was the shop?
Now, the two police who are assigned to investigate this case, we've actually got a Detective Wensley and a Sergeant Whitbread.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cheese and beer together at last.
I'll put her onto the case. And straight away, they recognise this sort of MO and the description that the shopkeeper has given them. Now, there have been a number of other stores in the area who have reported similar things over the past couple of months. And they think, oh, no, there's a scam going on here. It's obviously the same people responsible for all of these things. They sort of stake out various fancy goods shops throughout the area until eventually they see two women who match the description go into one of these stores. Obviously,
covered in finery.
Now they're walking incredibly slowly. The amount of jewels they've got on now, they're sort of staggering up the street slowly.
I'm
really fancy, covered in muffs they were and things and this sort of thing. So they watch them go in, they watch them come out, and they follow them. Follow them back to their house. Not one fancy street.
No.
It has to be said.
Surely not.
When they get there, far more low key. The police burst into the house. Mm-hmm. And there they find these two women unloading sort of pockets full of stuff onto the counter. And around the house, there are dresses, there are furs, there are sort of petticoats and scarves and gloves, bolts of fabric.
Oh, wow.
How the hell you get a bolt of fabric under your frock? I don't know.
You know, with talent.
Yeah, absolutely. But there are bolts of fine cloths and silks and things like that lying around. Jewellery and shoes and all the...
Everyone comes
lying
back.
Around the place.
They come back to that house and everyone going, great, my God, this is amazing. How did you smuggle that out of there? Don't ask. Don't ask. Just give me an ice pack and a nice glass of wine.
Absolutely. But there's this house is stuck to the gunnels of all these things. Which these must be stolen. These absolutely must be stolen.
They must.
The women are arrested and sent to court.
Okay.
At their trial, they plead guilty. Yes, okay. We stole these lovely things, but they beg for the court for leniency. They have been unable to resist such shiny and lovely things. We are but weak and feeble women. We can be tempted by shiny, shiny things. Yes. It's not our fault. It is our sex that has made us do such things. And the jury, all men, judge, man. Oh, yes, you are but a lady.
You are but a lady.
You are but a lady. You are easily tempted by loveliness.
You can't be trusted around finery.
Exactly.
Magpies,
it's entirely understandable that ladies would be attracted to loveliness.
Yeah. Standing over the stand there just with their nipples showing. Yeah. Just put one out. Now they're going to tempt you.
They plead their case so movingly. Yes, they are found guilty of the crime. They've pleaded guilty to the crime. So they have to be punished in some way.
They must be punished.
6 months in prison.
Okay, a fair cop.
At a time where they could have easily been hung or transported for life for similar crimes.
6 months in prison.
6 months in prison.
Where I can make a load of contacts.
And then, go on and off
you go. 3 meals a day? Great.
Absolutely. They serve their 6 months. They're out. Next day, they're back at the shops going, right, what can we nick here? Back to their old tricks, having a grand old time.
I do like...
Police, incredibly pissed off. We've spent months sort of staking out these women and we've got them banged to rights with all this. 6 months. String them up.
The judge and the jury.
They're like, easily swayed by the loveliness of ladies.
I do like your reference as well, but they are but weak and feeble women. But they have the heart and stomach of a concrete elephant.
So the game continues in this
long
vein.
Long game, though. That's a very good absolutely. Tactic. Rather than like, no, I didn't do it. Then you'd be transported. You know, fool the folly of others.
No, exactly. They go for it. They know. And they are well advised as well. The gang has lawyers on call. Because they make a lot of money from all the stuff that they're thieving. They've got people who can advise them.
Yeah.
So don't go not guilty because there's plenty of proof. And then you will get strung up for that. Go no.
Flutter
your eyelids a bit, all this sort of stuff, and it works, and it absolutely works.
Aye.
And so they continue in this vein for many, many years, really, and they get more and more successful, and more people want to join up. But the gang really hits their stride in the interwar years. So we're looking sort of in the 1920s.
Yes.
So at this point, we have a new queen who has come along. To run the gang.
Sorry, I thought you meant in England.
Oh, no, beg your pardon. No, a new queen of the 40 elephants come along.
Right.
This is Alice Diamond.
Brilliant
20-year-old Alice Diamond.
20?
Yeah, she's 20.
Wow.
When she takes control.
That brass ball of on her.
Well, you have no idea. She gets known as Diamond Annie. Is her song Diamond Annie.
That was not her birth name.
No, Alice Diamond is her birth name.
No, it isn't.
Well, it is according to the records.
No, it isn't. No, she was like, I'm Alice Mudd or something. Like, yeah, changing that instantly. Instantly. Probably came out of the womb like, you're Alice Mudd and like looked at like one eye at the procession. No, it's not.
No, it ain't. She's known as Diamond Annie. She becomes queen and she expands and elevates the 40 elephants to new heights. She expands operations really pretty much across the country. Pretty much they have fingers in many, many, many pies. Annie is a career criminal. She has been since a very, very young age. Her first arrest was around 15-16 or so, and she's worked her way up through the gangs, and say finally at 20 she has taken control and she rules with military precision. She is one tough lady.
Nice.
And anyone who steps out of line is likely really to feel Annie's wrath. She's got a very short temper.
No.
And she is not afraid to swing a few punches.
Okay.
Doesn't matter who at.
Prison rules then.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, she is 5'8".
Okay.
Now, this is a time where the average man is 5'6".
Yeah.
So she towers above most people. And she wears diamond rings on her fingers.
Yeah.
That she uses as knuckle dusters.
She
will brawl with the best of them. Anyone who gets in her way.
I'm sure you will agree, because we've both been there a long time ago. There is nothing like the confidence and the power of someone in their early 20s.
Oh, God, absolutely.
Yeah. It's crippling self-doubt as well in the bathroom quietly.
Entirely invincible to the world.
You're never more confident or more assure of yourself in your 20s. And then a few years later, then all crumbles down going, what am I doing?
Yeah. But no, she is feared, say, by friend and foe alike, really. She has London shopkeepers terrified that someone who looks like her is spotted in the area. They're shutting up shop and barricading the doors.
Is anyone tall? Shit, we're all very short.
Yeah, I mean, she enforces incredibly strict rules amongst all her members and the gang. And this becomes known as the Hoister's Code. Say, no drinking. No drinking. Going to bed early, the night before a scheduled raid or something like that, you get an early night. None of this pissing around at all.
Yeah.
Members, you have to be available to give alibis to any other members who are caught or something like that.
You will give an
alibi to your colleagues. You are not allowed to wear anything that you've nicked. Anything that you've nicked goes to a fence. You get the cash. You want something fancy, you go and buy it.
Yes.
With the money you have earned.
Very clever.
You don't walk around in stolen clothes. Because
many people would fuck that up.
Exactly. Yeah. Someone will reckon, oh no, that you nicked that. You buy what you want with the money you have earned. And being able to legitimately go into stores and buy things only heightens their sort of legitimacy of being recognised and being able to be in these areas. Because they do have cash, these women.
Yeah.
On that, because the amount of stuff that they're nicking. The gang continues sort of their rampage through London, really London's fanciest stores. And they do so taking advantage of attitudes and really fashions of the time. When you're in a store, women are given privacy. Everyone is desperately modest. If you want to try something on, you want to look at things, you want to be left alone, then absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good thing, Nick.
But even just looking through things, even just looking through a variety of things, not in a changing room or anything, but...
well, there's just men just sitting there with fucking opera glasses.
But even just like in the shop, the clerks will make themselves scarce.
Can we bring that back?
Unless you need something,
yes.
People will fuck off.
Yes. We all have that now.
And you have
leave us alone.
Yeah, exactly. So there's none of this, can I help? If they need something, they'll ask. Otherwise, fuck off. Oh. And they make the most of this modesty to be able to go, I'll have one of them, I'll have one of them. And it all goes in. The fashions at the time, very big frocks. Very big frocks, enabling
if
to
you
sew.
Them.
Well, they can afford them, but
they're still very big frocks. Though,
they're
in
quite
the
big
1920s.
Frocks. Quite big frocks.
You get you to
well,
well,
so
now.
At the moment we're looking. So this is on the sort of the cusp of the changeover.
Yeah.
So this okay. This is what I'm talking about is potentially more the earlier.
Okay,
the earlier days.
A bustle would still be there. You might not be fashionable, but it's there.
But it's there. Yeah. So especially if you're an older lady or something like that, or you might be slightly old fashioned, you would have the amount of pockets you can get in. To a many-layered frock.
Yeah, you don't want to slip.
You can get a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
In 1915, actually, so a few years before this, the 40 Elephants, they descend on Selfridges.
Nice.
They go for Selfridges. More than a dozen members show up of the gang. Mm-hmm. None of them know each other, of course. Well, none of them recognise each other. They're all there individually. They get a whole host of hansom cabs and cars sort of arrive. These women pile out on this sort of shopping excursion. Behind all this... A limousine pulls up. The chauffeur opens the door. Out steps this immaculately attired woman. Furs, jewels, someone there carrying her bag, all this sorts of thing. Absolutely, yeah, it's desperately fancy. Now, these are obviously women of means. These are women of a huge amount of money. The store managers, they go, fine, do what you like. You want exclusive access to the shop and things like that? It's yours.
Exclusive access to the shop? Like they walk us. We'll give you 20 minutes.
Give you 20 minutes. You want to walk around that department, look what you want, fine.
Yeah,
let us know when you're ready. We'll come in and have a look.
Oh my God.
In an hour, the women have pretty much picked the place bare.
Jesus Christ.
There is absolutely nothing left. Clothes, jewellery, all of it gone.
Yeah, we could all see this coming.
Yeah, yeah. But apparently
apart
they didn't.
Them.
Apart from them, they didn't. Annie herself managed to get two fur coats under her own furs. So she's in there wearing furs, and she managed to stash two sable coats.
That's fine.
Underneath her fur coats.
Yeah.
Exits into her limo. Off she drives.
No one's going to say a thing.
No one says a thing.
She's
absolutely.
Gotten very flat since
ten minutes ago. She's put on a bit. But yeah, no one realises anything until they go back in and go, didn't we have some coats over there? Wasn't there a big old load of jewellery over
they're
there?
They're turning around, probably going in, and the place is just ransacked. With a sign broken, swinging from the ceiling. Just, huh. We really need to rethink
yes.
that sort of personal shopper thing.
We really
Have
do.
Have someone in here. Just someone.
Just in case. Just in case. But no, that hadn't been thought of at this
ladies
point.
Ladies are delicate things. We don't know what ladies do when they're shopping. No. What if they show their vaginas?
Well, precisely. So none of that. Perhaps they just strip off and just naked shopping.
Exactly, yes. So we don't know. We don't
can't,
want to know.
We can't risk it. We can't risk it.
They're all outside smoking. What are they doing there? Probably showing their vaginas.
Probably. That's what women do. Well, I need a drink after all that.
I think we should get a drink.
All this time.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Nick, we have our drinks.
We do.
We put our vaginas away.
Thank God. It was getting a bit much.
What on earth is going to happen with this gang?
Well, indeed, so back to Anne Diamond Alley and her 40 elephants.
Her 40 elephants.
Her 40 elephants.
If you've only just tuned in at this point, you're not listening to podcast right.
Yes, no, indeed, you're doing quite wrong. There are so many ploys that they use to carry out their thefts. Some of them, they construct specialist clothing depending on the store they're going to rob. Mm-hmm. I'm going to a jewellery store. Lots of small pockets.
Very nice.
For a jewellery store.
Nice,
lots of small pockets all around. That's all good. I'm going clothes shopping. I'm going clothes nicking.
Yeah.
Then I need a couple of big pockets. If I'm going to get some fur coats in, and I want the pockets probably sort of around the hips or something. I don't want the pocket right at the front.
No,
because that's
no.
gonna
that's, no, famously.
Yeah, so that's gonna be weird.
Yep, she's
but one either side.
Yes.
Be even out, and so they
said milkshake brings the bows to the
So they have in different outfits.
Yeah.
Depend on what they're going to steal, what
Very
the plan
nice.
Is for that day.
Please say that they also had a pocket that was a snack pocket.
Oh, I'm well. Sure they did.
They were just like, we're going to stuff something in here, but I have a whole baguette as well for lunch. I need to plan my thievery.
There's one woman who wears a fake arm in her sleeve.
Oh, classic.
So the
gang.
Other arm is there for nicking stuff and putting it into her many, many pockets.
Oh, we've seen that a lot in the films.
In the films, exactly. Another ruse, which I really like, and I really actually quite respect Annie for this one, is that she actually uses her notoriety to her advantage.
Right.
And her stature. So she goes into a shop. I am fucking Diamond Annie. Everyone there is looking at her. is following her around. Meanwhile, the rest of the gang are picking the place clean.
Oh, yeah.
with no one watching them, because they've all got their eyes on Annie. What's Annie going to do?
No, that's a really
Annie
good...
does nothing.
Yeah.
So I love that. That's brilliant.
It's so good.
Yeah.
You would do that. You would serve well in your gang, because you'd walk in and go, I am Nick Gordon. And they're like, there's not enough liquor and paint in the world, sir. And I'd be there just like, oh, fucking hell, Jesus.
Another one they had was when they were, if they were looking at jewellery, it's a Nixon jewellery, one member would go in and ask to go up to the counter and ask to see a ring or something that was on the counter while they're there. Put a bit of chewing gum under the counter. Just a bit of chewing gum there under the counter. She would look at a variety of rings, things like that.
Okay.
One of the rings, stick to the chewing gum. Stick the chewing gum under the counter on there.
How?
It's one of the rings she's looking at. Okay. The clerk goes off and deals with someone else.
She sticks it to the
chewing gum under the counter.
Right.
She then goes, nah, not interested. Off she goes. Clerk, ring missing. Where's the ring? I put it back. Where's the ring? I'm going to have to search you. No sign of the ring. Anywhere. Off she goes. 10 minutes later, another woman comes in.
No.
Like to see that ring? I shall pick that ring still stuck onto the underside of the counter. That goes in the pocket. Oh, no, I don't know these rings. Off she goes.
Oh my god, that's so good.
which is brilliant.
I feel like we need to put a warning on
this
episode.
Don't do these things.
Don't do this. Please don't do this.
Also, you will get caught
now. You will get caught. There's cameras.
Also,
chewing gum isn't that reliable these days.
Yeah, yes.
You'll be doing that and then suddenly be a thunk.
This worked 150 years ago.
When chewing gum was basically cement.
Yes. It's not going to work now. So, I mean, they love their diversion tactics. Another one they had is, again, say a woman would seemingly go into a store alone.
A
woman would go into a store.
I'm alone. I'm not surrounded by people.
A woman would go into a store apparently alone by herself.
Same thing, mate.
No,
same
but,
thing.
Wait, no, it makes a difference when you hear the rest of the story, so sure. So a woman doesn't go into a store at all.
She goes home and thinks about what
she's done. She goes home and gets her thesaurus out.
And she goes, oh, it's thesaurus.
And then she gets a gun and she goes to shoot Sinead in the head.
And then all is right.
And all is well with the world.
Right.
Woman goes into a shop.
Boobus. Yes, she's
woman,
in there. She's
woman
in
goes
there.
To the shop. Woman goes into a shop. She asks to see various bits of jewellery or some makeup or something like that, something at the counter.
Okay.
Oh, it's very nice. She then turns to a woman standing next to her. Apparently a complete stranger.
Another customer.
Just another customer there standing next to her. What do you think of this? Does the colour suit me? What do you do like this ring? Isn't it lovely? And then this item gets passed along. A few women in the shop just said, what do you think of this? Isn't this nice? But yeah, blah, 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 chat, 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 chat. And the clerk is there going, you got it, you got it, you got it, you got it. Trying to keep track of this bit of jewellery or this bit of makeup or whatever it is. So yeah, exactly. Eventually goes to the end of the queue in the pocket. That one's out the door. Then the woman who's first of all picked up again, no, I've changed my mind. I'm not interested. What can I have it back? Oh, no, someone over there's got it. Mm. Well, where is it? Well, I haven't got it. I'm nothing in my pockets, nothing here.
Yeah.
Off they go. What can
exactly.
they do? They've got,
oh,
there's,
it wasn't
no, there's no,
it wasn't
me.
It's your ring.
It wasn't me, yeah, absolutely. Weren't you keeping
it.
An eye on where the ring was? It's with me. I haven't got it. Look at my pockets. There's nothing here.
There's nothing here. There's nothing here.
Off they go. Outside they're going, we've got a ring.
Probably don't sing that outside the shop.
Just outside the shop, going, woo!
We've got to ring. Wait until we're around the corner.
Wait till we're at least around the corner. Absolutely.
That's very good, sleight of hand. Yeah,
absolutely. Another distraction, they started using cars
to transport the rings?
As getaway vehicles.
Nice. Okay.
So what they did, again, someone, woman in a shop, nicks a load of stuff, legs it, runs out the door, making quite a lot of commotion. She goes. She's out the door. People are giving chase. Now, clerks are there. Oh, this woman's nicked stuff. Just outside the door, another woman is waiting. Bag gets handed over to this woman just outside the door. Woman who nicked stuff jumps into a car. The car speeds off down the road. Chase, chase, chase the car, chase the car.
She has her shed.
Chase the car. She's got the shed. All the police who are now flooding the area. No, there's a car that went that way. Woman by the front door. I've got a bag of stuff. And she strolls away with a nice
Skipping
down the street. Eventually, they might catch up with this woman.
Oh, brilliant.
I haven't got anything. I don't know if I can steal anything. How dare you? I'm late for an appointment.
I'm having a rather heavy period.
Exactly. Why have you stopped me? I've got nothing here. Look, you can search my car. There's nothing here.
So good. It's so good.
But it's all this misdirection. All this misdirection and distraction.
It still would work today. Mm. It still could.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
We cannot stress this enough. Don't. It's awful and you will be caught.
Stuff is now trackable. They will find you. Yeah. Absolutely.
I love the way that this time it was like, diamonds, fuck it.
Why not?
Hand them out to anyone.
By the time the sort of the 30s comes round, the 40 Elephants, they've grown their operation and they're working with other gangs, not just in London, but throughout the country as well. Yeah. There's the Elephant and Castle Gang, which is sort of the male equivalent, and they start partnershipping with them. Okay. But so there are other gangs around the country and they sort of start operating this stolen goods to order. Really.
So
a gang in Brighton or Liverpool or Manchester or wherever would send in orders. Local shopkeepers who want some fancy London stuff and aren't too worried about where it comes from, sort of thing, will start putting in orders. This gets translated down to London. The 40 Elephants go in, nick this stuff to order. They end up owning warehouses to hold all this stolen goods, which then get transported around the country.
So it's just shipping, really.
Yeah, shipping of stolen goods that have been thieved because someone in Brighton or someone up north somewhere wants this particular latest fashionable London thing. I don't really care where it comes from. So,
love that.
Absolutely. So yeah, they go out there. They've got a shopping list of things they need to nick. And what's brilliant is that everyone is such a small piece of the whole that no one really knows what the whole picture is.
Yeah.
So if someone gets caught. Oh, that I was caught stealing a scarf, and that's all they know, that they've stolen. They've been told to steal a scarf. I don't know where it's going to. So the rest of the operation is fully intact. Even if they are questioned, who are they going to tell about this countrywide criminal network of things? So they just don't know.
Who's
working for who and the extent of the whole thing. And these are relatively minor sort of offences. Yeah. You might get a few months. You might get a year if you're unlucky now.
Hmm.
But if people knew that it was part of this whole syndicate, that's a much more serious. that's a much more serious thing. I spoke earlier about how Annie had her rules, the Hoist's Code.
Yes.
For her gang. One of her strictest rules, one of her most important rules, was that the Queen must approve of any member's relationship with men.
Oh, okay.
She had to be confident that the member was dating someone who was trustworthy, who was not going to give them up. Because they would obviously find out about what this woman or their partner did for a living. So this chap had to be trustworthy and say, we had to be sure that he's not going to dob anyone in. A member named Marie Britton broke this rule. In 1925, she married a man that Diamond severely disapproved of. He was very untrustworthy. He was not the man that Marie should be marrying. He cannot be trusted. You are forbidden from going anywhere with this man. Mm. Marie does not listen. She's in love. She's in love with the lovely man. We love each other. He will never do anything to hurt me.
Really?
Yeah. Annie doesn't care. Annie doesn't care. Mm. One night, she gets pissed. She's out there. Annie's having a few too many drinks.
On the Amarulu.
Knocking back those drinks. She convinces several members to join her and go after Marie and her now husband. They break into Marie's home. They're armed with bottles and rocks, chunks of concrete from the street. And
someone's struggling behind.
Got some concrete.
Jesus, we just said rocks.
But they beat the chap half to death, really, and while Marie watches, trying to stop them. They don't kill him, but he is severely injured.
Mm.
Diamond Annie is arrested for this crime. Marie goes straight to the police. She knows exactly who's done this. She goes straight to the police. Diamond Annie is arrested, and she is sentenced to 18 months in prison for this assault.
18 months, okay.
18 months in prison. When she is released, 18 months later, she discovers that her place has been usurped. There is a new queen on the block.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there is a new queen. Lillian Kendall is now in charge of the 40 Elephants. Lillian Kendall is known by the police as the bobbed hair bandit.
Right.
Because she wears like a 1920s sort of bob. So yeah, she's the bobbed hair bandit. and that's how the press come to name her as well.
Well, they were scraping the barrel.
They're not very good at their
women
naming.
Women have bobbed hair. Maybe she was one of the first. Maybe, yeah. They didn't much like.
Well,
it.
She would have been noticed. Absolutely, yeah. It was very much frowned upon.
A woman with short hair.
Yeah. No, terrible, terrible woman terrible. To do this. Annie, actually, she gracefully accepts the sort of the demotion. She's been away for a long time. She's been away for 18 months. Things had to continue in her absence. So she accepts it and she goes back to sort of being like a rank and file member of the gang, really.
It's quite noble, isn't
well, yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. She does that for a few years. Eventually, she does actually go. Yeah. So she leaves. She starts her own brothel.
Okay. As you did.
And it also becomes a bit of a training school for thieves. And other women who want to get into it.
It's almost a political kind of approach to it. Political, you know, kind of like, you know, okay, fine, I'm going to do this. I'm going to play the long game here rather than the thirst for power. Probably why they were so successful.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. She sort of takes a step back from the gang. As sort of the 20s moves into the sort of the 30s, things really start to change for the gang.
Yeah.
As you've alluded to earlier, the change in fashions does not help. The change in attitudes towards women. It's now a lot more difficult to get a fur coat under a flapper skirt. time thing. It's not many hiding places. Things are a bit more streamlined, a bit more figure hugging and things now than once they were.
And also all these women going like, can you please still try us as delicate little ladies?
Instead of the sort of more traditional route that they had gone down before, say pockets and hiding things, Lillian takes to a slightly more dramatic smash and grab approach.
Yeah, well,
in several robberies, she drives her car through storefront windows.
Right.
Takes what she wants and fucks off.
Gets the job done.
It also gets her a lot of publicity. This is not subtle. Yeah. On one occasion, she actually drives through the window of Cartier's in Bond Street.
Nice.
Nicks a load of stuff, fucks off. All over the paper. All over the papers. Yeah. Bobbed head bandit. And of course, her hairstyle. Ugh, awful. Women doing such terrible things.
She must be a lesbian.
She must be awful. Awful, degenerate woman to do all of these things.
I admire that because I would get in a car and just, oh, fuck it, smash and grab through Cartier. Smash. At that time, who's going to find out?
But as time goes on, so these tactics really stop working. Mm. As the Second World War hits, things like that, security massively ramps up.
Yeah.
It's not so easy to go into a shop anymore and rob stuff because you've got security, your security guards and things, people keeping an eye on you.
Yeah.
The courts are now a lot less chivalrous than once they were with sort of petty crimes and things like that. No.
Yeah.
If you're stealing this stuff, you're going to get banged up for a long time. we're not pissing around anymore. And then when you get into the 40s, and well, the late 30s and 40s, it becomes so much more easier for women to find work.
Mm.
All the men are either at war or not come back from war, so there are so much more opportunities for women to find legitimate employment, so they don't have to resort to the criminal elements to make a living.
Mm.
By the 50s, elephants are really no more. They have really...
That's very dark, the way you've said that, Nick.
Just
elephants are no more. They're all dead.
They're all
extinct.
Well, there are rumours...
The elephants.
By the 50s, the 40 elephants are really no more. There are some rumours that a few members keep the name going. Supposedly in the 60s, a woman by the name of Shirley Pitts, who had been one of Diamond Annie's last protégés, sort of takes control of the organisation. But by then, it was a handful of members also, if at all, really. And when she dies in the 90s, 40 elephants are gone.
Yeah.
Done and dusted, with the golden days are far, far behind them. But despite this sort of slightly whimpery end, sort of thing, as is the way of things, in their heyday, the 40 elephants were one of London's most feared, most successful, most glamorous gangs around. So much so that they are one of the most famous still to this day.
Da, da, da.
So there we go, the 40 elephants.
Absolutely brilliant.
So there we go.
Brilliant story of a female gang.
Mm.
Loved it. Had no idea about the...
I thought there was someone that you may have heard of before.
No, I genuinely hadn't. I don't know a lot about gangs in London. Oh my God, so good. And so many good tactics that were used then.
Absolutely.
And you kind of think, like, today, again, don't. But it'd be so easy to do this sort of thing. It's all this kind of, like, you know misdirection and everything that we make out of all the magic shows that we see, or, like, you know, the faux magic shows. That's all it takes. It's a little bit of misdirection. Yeah. Preying on people's prejudices or insecurities gets you a lot of money.
Yeah. But it's also interesting that how they were very much set up for the attitudes and the styles of the time.
Yeah.
Very
smart.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so 30 years later or so, it didn't work. Because attitudes have changed, fashions have changed and things. So they were right where they needed to be at the right time to make a huge success of this. And that was down to some very forward-thinking and smart women who put all this together and said, we can really, really rinse people.
Well, that's the thing, is that in today's society, those sort of small, petty thefts, you could try it again and again and again, and you go to court and go, okay, well, you've done this 15 times. Yeah. Make it so impossible for you to even attempt to make a career out of such things.
No, absolutely. And so you just see increased security with cameras everywhere and
everyone's got
undercover security officers and stores, and especially fancy stores have got probably more security staff than customers these days. So no chance of getting away with that now.
Crazy. Brilliant. Love a female gang, though. Love the style and love the fashion. But what do you think, people? What do you think about the 40 elephants, the gang? What would you have worn on the raids to really ramp up your status in society? What do you think of all the methods that were used?
Will they fly today? Well, probably
that's
not.
That's the thing. Like, of course they wouldn't fly today, but they're quite clever.
Well, definitely.
What do you think about their methods of deception? What would you have done? What would you have done in that situation to get that sealskin coat? All of these things that they were buying were awful, by the way. Tell us what you think. Jump on the comments of this episode. Share your thoughts, your theories, more episode ideas that we can cover in the future. But most importantly, while you are musing, you must mix up an array of drinks.
A whole variety.
Try a little bit of Amarulu.
It's grand. It's lovely. I really like it.
It's very nice. Good alternative to Bailey's.
Mm.
And also try the, what's it called again, Nick?
It's called the Archibald's Last Memory.
Yeah. What do you think?
I mean, it's great. I've lost many, many faculties since I've had that one.
Yeah.
And so for a moment there, I forgot how to speak. So I really enjoyed it, but my God, it's dangerous.
Bearing in mind, I've had an antihistamine and had that, and I'm kind of okay, but I don't know where my limbs are. It is a dangerous one, people. It is strong, but it's really good.
It's really nice. It's really good. Really tasty.
It's a little bit too strong for me.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan, but I drank it.
You not got through it.
Nick is rolling around on the floor right
now. Yes. I feel like I might be.
So try it and tell us what you think. If you have the ingredients, share pictures of the cocktails you are enjoying over the weekend. If you don't have the ingredients for this cocktail, share whatever you have to
Absolutely.
Hand. If you haven't already, please consider joining us on patreon.com/thepoisonouscabinet. It is a great place with extra episodes every single week, as well as lots of bonus content. And if you can, please leave us a positive review on Apple iTunes and follow us on all the social media channels that you're on. Thanks for listening, guys. We have been the people inside the Poisoner's Cabinet. We will see you next week. And remember, your loved ones are trying to kill you.
Bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.